Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Jordan hits one high and deep to right field. That ball is good. Home run. Air Jordan with a two-home run night. And the Astros lead this game 7-3.
That dude's a bad man.
But two homers for Yordan Alvarez last night. Man, that was fun. Yordan back and better than ever. Safe to say that whatever bug, whatever illness he had, he feels fine as the Astros won 8-3. It was awesome. Great home opener.
It was very nice to see the offense, at least for one night, get back on track. And honestly, at this point, I just wish that they could play the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim every single game. I mean, that's the one team that they have shown the ability to score against. But that home run by Alvarez was something else. Did you see the right fielder for the Angels? He just looked up and he's like,
"Yeah, he no chance."
He didn't even take a step. When life gives you lemons, bleep the lemons and bail, essentially. Just like in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Paul Rudd's character, the surfer guy.
Two home runs, four RBI in his return to the lineup. It was a fun game. It was the last opening day for the Astros. I say the last one because they had obviously the first opening day, then they were in Seattle for Seattle's opening day, and then this one. So Dusty Baker had kind of alluded to the fact that he was kind of like done with opening days. He's glad that the guys, because it is a lot of energy, it's an extra long day, but this one was certainly fun. They got their rings, everybody was smiling. So good day for the Astros.
Yeah, and look, you need to have Alvarez out there, especially as we'll talk about in a moment, if this team isn't 100% healthy. And, you know, we're doing a little math here.
And Paul Gallant was not at the game.
No, I was not. That was not me.
There's the scene, there's a shot, a camera shot, right, where somebody in a Mariners jersey catches a ball.
Yes, he did, and it wasn't me. He was not as handsome as me. He was not as in shape as me. It wasn't him. That was not me. It was a nice catch that he made, but no, I would not go to Minute Maid Park wearing a Mariners jersey. I wouldn't do that. By the way,
yeah,
doing a little math here.
Math.
For Jordan Alvarez.
Hashtag math.
Okay. Three home runs, five games. Technically, he is on pace for 97 home runs. So.
Oh, wow. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there were some dark clouds hanging over the Astros win yesterday. There was an injury to our beloved Jose Altuve. We have the call from that. And I got to tell you, I don't often go, oh, no, that looks bad. But when Jeff Blum says something looks bad, I think it looks bad.
Slowly hit. Mayfield will have to make a play to second. And the throw goes into the outfield. Martin Maldonado will stay at second base. Maldi in a little collision, and Jose Altuve goes down after he ran through the bag.
It doesn't look good.
It does not look good, and it definitely did not look good as Jose Altuve injured his left hamstring on an infield single. So, what are your thoughts on this about your initial look? We're not doctors. We never pretend to be. And we'll play Jose.
Gotta amputate it.
Jose's sound in a minute. But what were your initial impressions when you first saw the injury?
If I was an 1800s doctor, I would probably say that first. Looks like a hamstring injury. I don't know if this is something that's going to re-aggravate itself. But for anyone who has suffered a hamstring injury, it's one that generally re-aggravates itself a lot. And especially in situations where that's the one really place on a baseball diamond where you're exploding towards something. And Altuve was running straight down the first base line as fast as he possibly could to run out an infield single. As you get older, this happens. It's now a matter of, is this going to continuously happen and what's the recovery time going to be? Given the way that the Astros have been managing players thus far, where we've already seen guys get a bunch of off days, I would assume that they're going to play this very safe with Altuve. They should play it very safe with Altuve because these are the kind of injuries that never really go away. And I base that off of watching so many wide receivers suffer hamstring injuries, and it nags them for usually the remainder of their career. And this is about the age when they start to happen.
31, right? Yeah. Jose Altuve, 31 years old. So, you know, he's not a spring chicken, but this is what he had to say in the clubhouse. This is via Mark Berman, of course, because who else of Fox 26?
Feeling better than what I was expecting, but we'll see tomorrow.
What was that initial reaction? I know you were pretty upset when you went down.
You never want to get hurt playing. You know, something I take pride of is to stay on the field. And, you know, obviously I don't want to come out of the game, but it is what it is.
Was it scary at first when you first suffered the injury?
Yeah, a little bit, but like I said, hopefully tomorrow we will do some tests and hopefully everything is fine and just not anything crazy.
I love Mark Berman. Was it scary? Like, what is this, a 30 for 30?
You want me to kiss it for you?
Yeah.
I'm not going to make fun of those questions, though, because asking a guy about injuries.
Oh, I'm a former TV person, so I cannot. The things that I've asked, like, what was going through your mind in that moment?
That's
after
not bad.
You realized? Yeah, but it's the tone.
Injury questions are always something else because, hey, what's that like? I mean, that's essentially the question that you're asking no matter what. So that's bad, huh? I mean, that's the kind of question that you got to get so you can get that reaction. Like, yeah, it's bad. You never. I love how he started off his answer saying, you never want to get injured.
Jose Altuve, of course, we love him here in Houston and hoping that he can heal as quickly as possible. But as we brought up before, and Mike Stanton brought this up last night on Astros, I believe it either pre or post game, the Astros do take their time with injuries. They are a conservative team. They don't push guys to get back out there. And we will keep that in mind, too, with Lance McCullers Jr. There was some news yesterday that doesn't seem to indicate that he's going to be back soon.
60-day injured list. And, you know, you hear James Click talk about his status going forward before yesterday's game. And it feels like he's going to be out a really long time.
It doesn't change his timetable at all. He threw again yesterday, again continues to throw without any pain, which is the main thing. If this were the off season, this would be sometime in January, possibly, when guys start picking up a baseball. And so right now the plan is to build him up to get him back to his normal starter workload. And so when you work that calendar and you think about what spring training normally takes and that many weeks and things like that, moving him to the 60 was, you know, it's always difficult, but at the same time, looking at the calendar, it shouldn't affect his progression at all.
I mean, you hope it doesn't, but with Lance McCullers Jr., we know that he's always optimistic. We've talked about this where he's not the person that's going to say, I'm going to be out for a few months. This doesn't look good. He said he'd be back for the World Series. He said he would be back for spring training. So this indicates to me that it obviously is serious. Do you think another TJ is in his future?
Man, I mean, that's you don't want to put that out there. I'm never going to be 100% comfortable with Lance McCullers being able to pitch through a full season. There's enough of a body of work to indicate that he just deals with stuff. I can understand why, just given how filthy some of his pitches are. I mean, you're putting that much torque or whatever you are on your arm, on your elbow. I would imagine if you have a curveball that can drop essentially like 5 feet, which it seems McCullers can do, you're going to have moments like this. That's just, it's not a natural motion to make with your arm. So I don't want to say yes, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, this is, I think, something he's going to be dealing with for his whole career, and good for him for getting paid.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that was one of those contracts when I first saw it, I thought to myself, man, you know, considering some of the guys that they could try to keep long term, McCullers, who I like, who I think is a great part of this clubhouse, would be the one that would involve the most risk by far. I don't think it's close.
We could see him get another Tommy John. We wouldn't obviously like that, but it's a tough surgery to recover from. But no news on an exact return for Lance McCullers Jr. Certainly a setback, to say the least. Let me tell you guys really quickly. Get out your phone if you own your home and listen to me. Our friends at TGS Insurance are going to save you a lot of money, and you don't have to talk to an agent. I know you're paying too much for your home. You probably don't shop for better rates because it is legitimately a hassle, but it doesn't have to be thanks to TGS. They have a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds. And all you have to do is send that single text. You'll probably save a bunch of money. So take your phone right now. Text the word money. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your address. Send that back and you'll get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company is legit. The savings are legit. The online rating is nearly perfect. And their average customer from 2021 is saving over $870 on their home insurance. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been, and you're only one text away from those massive savings. So one more time, text MONEY to 232323 and get your home insurance quote. Save big today.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're rolling along on a Tuesday. Hope everybody's doing well. I'm Vanessa Richardson. I'm at Sports Vanessa on social media. My guy, Paul Gallant, at Gallant Says. And, of course, our producer behind the glass, Lance McCullers Jr. / Mike McDaniel / Sean Mapes.
Can't believe that Lance McCullers is taking time away from rehab to produce our radio show.
You look like Mike Fiers today. This has been brought up, and it is legit.
I'm insulted by this. I don't think Mike Fiers is an attractive person.
He is, though. He might not be a great guy, and he might be doing some weird things in the off season, but he's not bad looking.
A beard that looked like a G once. It was a G.
But that doesn't mean you're not good looking.
Yes, it does.
No.
Forever.
Not every girl likes like pretty guys. I like quirky stuff.
Well, listen.
But you do. I mean, you have the same eyebrows, you have the same facial hair, and you're wearing the exact same colors of his uniform, and you are wearing what looks like his type of hat.
I'm not an Astros Mariners A's fan.
A's fan, right.
I'm not. I actually despise the A's. They are the team I dislike the most in the American League West. But my high school, this is my high school hat, happens to have the same colors. The Shorecrest Preparatory School Chargers.
God, so private school. I work with two private schoolers.
Well.
But the
sorry, we're just built different.
Yeah. The shirt that you're wearing doesn't help, too.
Yeah, it's also the same color. Well, I thought it would match, but I didn't really think the whole I look like I'm an A's fan thing through.
Yeah, you do look like my Fiers. All right, so we know that the game has changed via NIL. It's been this way for a while. If you ask me, I think guys have been getting paid for a long time. But now it's legal. This is via The Athletic. College football's NIL arms race continues to soar. Three recently signed contracts. A 4-star wide receiver, 4 years, $1 million. A top 10 D lineman, 3 years, $1 million. 3-star D lineman, 4 years, $500,000. We've seen this with some young women, too. Some attractive cheerleaders, volleyball players that are good, but they're not the sports that usually bring in a lot of money. Yet these women are getting $500,000, $1 million, and good for them.
Really good for them, because you don't get paid in those sports.
No.
Really,
and that's
ever.
The thing. So
even if you're an Olympian, I mean, shoot, I it's more about what kind of sponsorship deals you're pulling
absolutely.
In on the side. You know, I would imagine that Simone Biles compared to some of the other members of the U.S. gymnastics team, like there's a massive discrepancy in terms of the amount of money that one can make. And I would imagine it ranges from like millions and millions for Biles to like, I don't know, like tens of thousands of dollars for somebody else.
If you're a gymnast at a Division II school and the program isn't really bringing in a lot of money and your plan is to go into marketing after college and you're not going to make a lot of money and a company approaches you and offers you $500,000 to do like a makeup deal, you should say yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's what's good is that now like they can make that. But geez, those numbers, Vanessa, that you listed for those college players, a 3-star got $500,000? Wow. I know that you see these high school recruiting rankings and you assume that these guys will be what they are projected to be, but you think projecting a college player going into the NFL is an inexact science. Holy crap, when we're talking about high schooler going to college. We're talking about children becoming adults and living on their own often for the very first time.
Yeah.
in their lives, and you're willing to spend that kind of money. Clearly, some programs take it seriously, way too seriously. And also, there's going to be a time where not just the recruiting is going to involve massive deals that see NILs and $1 million given out to a guy who hasn't even played in college yet. The transfer portal has also opened up Pandora's box, too, to offer money to players to go leave their program. So imagine if you play really well for some small school, and that small school is feeling really great about having this player who they signed to a scholarship. This player now has the option to leave, which, good for the player, just sucks for the fan. And that's, I think, something that I guess you have to determine whether or not you care, or if you are someone who's going to get mad, big mad online, and go after the kid in his mentions.
Oh, God. Don't ever be the adult going after the kid.
Please,
like,
don't.
When you have a guy that like has the hats in front of him and is like, all right, it's between Georgia, Alabama, Florida, and Ohio State. And you have adults that are like, please pick Ohio State. Please, please pick
Ohio State.
Why
does Ohio State have the accent?
Because I hate them.
Oh, okay.
So it is NIL for sure, plus the transfer portal that I think makes a difference. But there was an interesting tweet from Andrew Brandt, who has covered the NFL for a long time. This is his tweet. Heard from a longtime NFL agent this week, re-NIL. He said, quote, Andrew, we used to have to fund these kids for years until their NFL contract. Now the school boosters do it. It's saving us so much money. It's awesome. Read between the tea leaves there. That means, like, the agents used to have to give these college students money, which was illegal, but was very much happening. And now agents are happy that they don't have to do that because the boosters do it and it's legal, and NIL does it and it's legal.
It's got to be an uncomfortable situation, too, to give these players money if you are an agent, just because you're assuming that you're going to get paid back eventually should they sign an NFL contract.
It's an investment.
That's the game they're playing, and it's not like I have any sympathy for sports agents because, I mean, you are essentially vulturing off of the careers of
people. Pretty grimy.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Nothing against agents. Again, it's just I feel like, you know, guys like David Mulugeta clearly have very little morals when it comes to making sure that they can find a way to get their guy paid every single possible cent. And they are going to do anything they possibly can, including lie, to get their guys paid. So no sympathy for them. But my goodness, I did not know that the figures were turning into this for guys who had not even played a down yet. That is something else. And I don't know how you compete if you're not one of these schools. What's the point? And that's, I think, the part about college football that's really suffering the most is that the things that you thought were significant, at least personally to you, they're slowly going to become less and less. Mm-hmm. Because it is all about, oh, did you win the college football playoff? Oh, you didn't? Who cares if you're one of these contenders? The bowl games that used to matter don't matter anymore. I guess rivalries still matter, but
ish.
With all the conference realignment that we have seen, you know, I mean, we haven't seen Texas and Texas A&M play each other in a decade. So, yeah, I wonder.
Winning is no longer the priority.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, that's true, too. I mean, it's always going to be about that, but certain teams just have no chance at all now. Like, what are the odds that 5 years from now we will see another team like Cincinnati in the college football playoff if this is how it turns into?
That's a great
because,
point.
You know, if you play for Cincinnati and you play well, say you're Sauce Gardner and someone sees you playing extremely well 1 year and they say, hey, we can offer you more. So you're LSU or you're Alabama. I mean, it's going to turn into essentially the Yankees pilfering away free agents like they were doing in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Adam Schefter, meanwhile, tweeting, no surprise, Baker Mayfield did not show up to voluntary workouts for the Browns. This is a situation that I think is going to get really interesting within the next couple of, I mean, what? I thought the draft was this weekend, by the way, because time doesn't exist to me. The draft, it turns out, is next weekend.
It is.
But I think this is going to be really interesting to see what unfolds with Baker and the Cleveland Browns.
I don't know where he's going to go. And we talked about it yesterday. The Panthers are supposedly the front runners to land him, but I see no reason for the Panthers to make a move to bring him in. Like, what way does that benefit you? In what way? How does that help you? Baker Mayfield does not have the kind of upside that's worth giving up a draft pick to pay him 1 year's worth of salary. if you are being given a draft pick to take on Baker Mayfield's contract, that is another story entirely. And the problem, I think, with that being a possibility is that there are multiple quarterbacks that are in the same boat. It's not just Baker Mayfield, it's Jimmy Garoppolo. They're sort of hand-in-hand in this period of time. But, yeah, I think he's just going to be lingering on the Browns for a while. I don't see him being elsewhere until August or something.
A dead weight on the roster for sure. I don't think Baker Mayfield starts, again, unless there's somebody that is needing, that is injured, and he's, but I think he's destined to be a backup. And when you look at Jimmy G and his attitude, who's had the better attitude, there's a bigger injury risk with Jimmy Garoppolo. But yeah, we'll see how that plays out. Not a surprising tweet by Adam Schefter, but definitely worth mentioning, especially with who their QB1 is that they tweeted about earlier. All right. Meanwhile, Ian Rappaport tweeting, as the Arizona Cardinals begin their offseason conditioning today, quarterback Kyler Murray and many of the team's veterans will stay away and train on their own rather than attend the voluntary workouts, sources say. This has been communicated as the plan for several weeks. Big deal or no big deal that a group of the veterans are not going to train with the Cardinals?
Well, they are working out together. So at the very least, that's good. And I think it's becoming less and less, Vanessa, of a big deal. Okay. We've seen over the last couple of years, like even Tom Brady has not gone to all of the offseason voluntary workouts. I think now all of a sudden players feel comfortable, and it has to be established players. If you're not established, you don't have the ability to do this because you will be cut. But more and more established players are like, yeah, it's voluntary. Screw this. Where in years past, it was an assumption that, yeah, it's voluntary in name only. You'll be there, and you better be there, or it's going to affect you going into the year. It's definitely affecting, I think, some play. I think if you're an offensive lineman in this league, that you need more offseason time. I think right. Most offensive linemen will tell you. I've heard Joe Thomas saying this before. You need more time getting into a season, especially if you're a young player, to really get a feel for how to do this job and how to improve your technique.
And who you're working with.
Right, exactly. Because, yeah, you got to get in sync. If you don't have chemistry on your offensive line, it can be an absolute mess, even if you have a lot of talented players. So I'm curious as to how much further this will go as far as how many guys don't show up for voluntary workouts as time progresses. But, yeah, it's no longer a big deal. I think it's just perhaps, Vanessa, a headline because of the fact that Kyler Murray deleted all mentions of the Cardinals from his social media this offseason.
And they rescinded the offer. He and his agent rescinded the offer that Arizona never even responded to. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, could an AFC South team take a quarterback? What could hint for that happening? And no, it's not the Texans. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Happy Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. I got Paul Gallant with me as always. Sean Mapes producing our show. And I am excited.
Why?
I'm excited to see the quarterbacks in the AFC South this year. I think it's going to be interesting.
You're excited for this crop
of
quarterbacks?
I want to see, yeah. You
really?
Would be right. No, this is legitimately. I want to see how much Trevor Lawrence improves. I want to see if Matty Ice still has it. I think Davis Mills looked good as a solid as a rookie. Good might be an overstatement. Solid as a rookie. And I want to see what Ryan Tannehill does because I don't think he's going to do very well again. And there was an interesting discussion this morning on NFL Network about the Titans possibly taking a rookie quarterback. Now, they don't pick until 26 in the first round. But this is not a great, quote-unquote, great draft class for quarterbacks. So there might still be some hanging around that are in the top list of QBs. Ryan Tannehill did not come to voluntary workouts. He is the sole reason the Titans lost a lot of games last year. Hashtag never forget when Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times and the Bengals still won. So could the Titans be eyeing a rookie quarterback?
They should be. They should be. They're crazy if they're not. Really, I think that last year, the clear liability on that very tough team that was able to win 13 games, get home field advantage somehow, despite a million injuries, was Tannehill. Not surprising. Tannehill's limited as far as better quarterbacks in the AFC go. He has mobility. He has pretty good play action fake. He can throw the football down the field. But as far as his consistent ability to not puke himself, he has games, and he always has, where he just looks like he did against the Bengals, as you outlined a little bit ago, Vanessa. Who the hell does he think he is, by the way, not showing up for the offseason program? This is going to help you get an extension from the Titans? I'm sorry. You proved this past season that you should be doubted without Arthur Smith as your offensive coordinator. I thought that there was going to be a step back for Tannehill last year. Guess what? We saw it. So, yeah, on the Titans, I'm looking to trade up. I'm looking to draft a quarterback, and I'm hoping that things work out in a way where some quarterback ends up falling right into my hands, because I think that they should be moving on from Tannehill now.
There are people that might say, okay, off-season workouts not a big deal, and we hear people say that all the time. But
we just touched on it,
but,
right.
But the thing is, there is the argument of optics, and there is the argument of when you're the quarterback of a team and you're competing in the AFC, and you know, okay, is your goal to win the division? Because you might win the division, and good for you if you do. But is that your goal, or is your goal to actually elevate your team and capitalize on some of the weapons that you have? I think it's bad from an optics standpoint for Tannehill not to go to voluntary workouts.
It's a terrible look. And, right, why is it different, Paul, Vanessa, from what you were just talking about with Kyler Murray? Well, Murray is the established future of the franchise, no matter how much of a diva he might
and
be.
And annoying, yeah.
On social media, right. Where with Ryan Tannehill, he is the quarterback until he isn't. He is in the same conversation as Baker Mayfield, mm-hmm. as Jimmy Garoppolo. They're just further down that road than Tannehill is at this point in time. We heard nice things said by Mike Vrabel, by John Robinson, the GM of the Titans, this offseason about how it's not just Tannehill's fault. But that's the guy I'm pointing at for why they lost to Cincinnati. I'm not pointing at anybody else. They should have won that game, and he had three careless passes. And you got to be, if you're looking for an extension, there. You are not removed from the having to be at voluntary workout discussion. Like, you're not good enough for that.
He's not good enough for that, and he hasn't been a good enough leader. And when you look at quarterbacks, and everybody, every owner, every GM likes something different in a quarterback. I think the thing that you can agree is that you want guys that step up in the big moments and the high-pressure situations and get it done. And Ryan Tannehill is the opposite of that. So certainly not good enough to be missing the voluntary workout. We'll see how it affects their decision-making. He may already know and may already have the idea that they're picking a rookie quarterback, and that could be a reason why.
I have been off the Tannehill bandwagon.
You have.
For a long time.
I will give you that.
Long time. And look, he deserves credit for what he has done in Tennessee, because he has actually played better, and I hope that he got more mature. But whenever I think of Ryan Tannehill, this is where it all started for me, where I was like, this guy sucks. I went and I saw a story where, in practice, he made disparaging remarks to scout team defense after getting picked off. And allegedly, he told a scout team defender,
oh no,
that, like, oh, wow, you need a trophy? Because I guess he celebrated afterwards. And he made a comment about the guy's paycheck, too. Yeah. And again, this is 2015, so you can mature. You can be more
petty.
Of an adult.
That's petty.
And I just remembered seeing that report, which he denied, but didn't deny all of it. Like, he admitted there was some truth to the report that came out. And I just remembered, I'm out on Tannehill. Always will be out on Tannehill. Never thought he was that good. I don't understand why he was a top 10 pick. He's a freaking wide receiver in college. So why is he a top 10 pick quarterback? I didn't get that. And, I mean, I don't understand what he's doing here either. like, who the hell are you?
I think, man, when you look at quote-unquote windows, and when you have guys like Derrick Henry now, will Derrick Henry go back to being Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry, we don't know. But when you look at that team, it's a complete team other than the quarterback position. And so if they don't draft a rookie, and if they don't try to build a guy within that organization and groom him and make him what they want him to be, I could see Mike Vrabel getting very frustrated, because I don't think Mike Vrabel likes Ryan Tannehill.
Interesting, because he's defended him.
He has defended him, but I think that there's part of that that comes along with the job. So we'll see what they do, and we'll see what decision the GM and owners make. Meanwhile, the match is back, and we had a feeling that something was going on a couple days ago when Tom Brady tweeted the eyeball emojis and tagged Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Aaron Rodgers. We figured it was something quarterback-related, and now we know it will be Mahomes and Allen versus the old heads, Brady and Rodgers, in the match. I'm excited for this.
I'm not.
You're not?
Yeah, the novelty wore off after the first one. Brady versus Manning, I enjoyed that.
That was cool.
But am I going to go out of my way to watch golf between non-golfers? No.
It's like something to have on in the background. I like it.
Golf. What a sport to have on in the background. Like
With the match? Yeah. I'm not saying I have golf on in the background regularly.
I'm not putting this on, no. It's cool to watch guys golf, but, I mean, isn't this the same situation that we're talking about? Like, if it's a professional golfer, it's one thing, but, I mean, isn't this the same thing as watching people play video games? Which I still don't understand, but
no,
apparently
I
need
either.
To do. Well, that's a thing. Twitch is like a huge, there's a huge market of people that watch other people play video games. And one of my friends, Josh Beard, who you'll hear from time to time at ESPN 97.5, always talks about it. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
Oh, you know what? Actually, the guy we had on yet, Robert Flores, does that. We had him on yesterday. He streams video games and people watch him.
Hey,
and I
remember
when he told me that, I did not think it was real.
I can understand streaming it, but tons of people watch this stuff. Same thing. This is the same thing with the match. Like, I'm watching guys who don't golf play golf. Oh, well, Paul, well, they do golf. Okay, sorry.
Here's
not
what will
me.
Make it entertaining is if they actually genuinely smack talk. And I don't mean Patrick Mahomes like, oh, you're an old man smack talk. I mean, like, if they make it personal, if Aaron Rodgers gets dicey, if they throw some personal insults in there, I think it'll be fun.
Well, that's what was disappointing. I mean, in the Brady Manning one, he was more endearing because he played poorly for a while.
Right.
Peyton Manning was throwing barbs at him, and he didn't really have any comebacks, which was disappointing to me. I could get all of the things I need after this game. I'm not watching the whole thing. You know, like, I'll see highlights. I'm not going to pretend like I'm going to watch it.
I will watch it. Might have it on the background, but is it something that I'm going to be fawning over? Of course not. But I like this. I like the idea of the young guys versus the older guys. And we'll see how genuine their personalities are. You're right. It was humanizing to see Tom Brady bad at something. I specifically remember that.
Oh, yeah. You loved it. You're like, this is the first time I've ever seen Tom Brady struggle in my life.
It was
great. I'm going to revel in this moment.
Do you think Tom Brady has had Botox?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because his face is, like, frozen at this point.
I have never done Botox.
I have.
You have?
I have in the past.
Does it hurt?
No, it doesn't hurt. I think my issue with it was when I got it, I probably got too much.
Oh.
I don't know how it's supposed to work, but I'm a very expressive person.
I see no wrinkles.
And, well, then it worked. But when I had it and I got a lot done, it does freeze your face.
Mm. One of my guy friends gets Botox.
Really?
See, I think it's acceptable for women to get it, but culturally, I don't know if it's acceptable for guys to get it. I really don't know. I wouldn't know. I've never done it, though.
Does he work in TV?
No, he doesn't.
Wait.
Also, one time, someone thought he was Tom Brady, and he will never stop talking about that story. Because he's this, like, 6'4" guy with long, like, hair. And I'll admit, the guy is a handsome fellow, but good God. He'll never let anyone hear the end of that story.
Mike Fiers over here, and we got Mike McDaniel / Lance McCullers Jr. behind the glass laughing at it.
Yeah.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we have our Garbage Time segment, Catch Me Outside Girl, buying a mansion. Plus, this former NFL player, still very much alive. That's next.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, as we wrap up our Tuesday, it's time for our Garbage Time segment, which we'll have music next week.
Hell yeah.
It'll be exciting.
Instead, we're playing I'll Be Missing You, because we'll be missing you in 15 minutes.
So cute. Wow, nicely done.
Yeah.
That was a good transition, guys. Good job, Paul.
Hell yeah.
You should do TV. All right, so a couple of fun stories today. If you remember the Cash Me Outside girl.
Yes.
God, Ratchet, not a fan.
She used to be named, I believe, Danielle Brigoli.
Bad Bobby.
But now her name is Bad Bobby.
I am anti-making stupid people famous, so I hate this. But she did buy a Florida mansion for $6.1 million cash.
And it was in cash.
Mm.
Yes, as you said, cash me outside. Am I right? Cash me inside, more like it. If you don't remember her, this was her infamous moment that made her famous.
On Dr. Phil.
When she was 13 years old.
Catch me outside. How about that?
So what do you think is going to happen when you happen to steal somebody's car that disagrees with that and decides that they're going to drop a hammer on you and prosecute you to the full extent of the law?
Dad, my time in jail. Jail ain't nothing. That's what I always do, and they never catch me. Ain't nobody going to catch me.
Because you're too streetwise?
Yup. And all these hoes laughing like something funny.
She's talking about the audience that they're laughing at her.
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes?
Yep. Catch me outside. How about that?
Huh?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Catch you outside? What does that mean?
What I just said.
Catch her outside, and she'll go outside and do what she has to do.
So
I mean, she'll fight them, right?
Right. And I understand that we focus on the girl, but the best part of that clip always and forever will be Dr. Phil McGraw just absolutely not understanding what this
anything?
Because they're too streetwise?
Are they hoes in the audience?
I do like.
And then her mom was in the audience trying to explain it. My daughter is saying the audience are hoes.
Yeah, Dr. Phil needed an interpreter for this girl.
I am anti making stupid people famous, but that is what we do on the internet.
I want to end it all. I don't want to do this job anymore. Like, there's no point in trying to be famous when some little bleep can go on national TV at 13 and have no talent whatsoever. And yet is now a viral millionaire sensation.
It all fall apart with quick fame. That's what you got to know.
I don't know, though. It doesn't fall apart. It's like she's made it work.
Falls apart.
I guess props to her. She's made the most out of this moment. I'm just envious. Like, clearly I should try to embarrass myself nonstop as opposed to behaving
like
an adult.
Are you not trying now?
Only
Sean,
on the weekend.
That was funny.
No, I'm hurt.
I thought you were saying that you're trying to embarrass yourself all the time.
No, I'm not.
I was nodding along. I guess that's what
okay. Well, I guess I have to try a little harder.
Yeah, try a little bit harder.
Okay.
Meanwhile,
call someone a hoe.
call our audience hoes. Meanwhile, Colin Kaepernick still willing to go for it in the NFL. Yeah. We know that he's had a couple of workouts, but he recently said that he would be willing. He sat down for an interview and said that he would be willing to be a backup.
But I don't buy that because he also said that he won't be a backup for long. And look, if you're bringing in a backup that has the kind of sideshow element that Kaepernick would bring for a week or two, it would wear off as a novelty. No one, I think, really cares that much about Kaepernick anymore, and I don't think they're going to. But he gets brought on to a team. Is it worth having a guy who's constantly being discussed when he's the backup quarterback? Like, that was the thing with Tim Tebow. Is Tim Tebow so bad that he was worse than 90 quarterbacks that were in the NFL at a point in time? No, he was just too annoying a distraction and with not enough upside to bring in. Who wants to have, if you're a starting quarterback, the backup constantly being asked questions, unless you're like Tom Brady or someone who's good? This situation, though, it's been too long. And he's had opportunities, and it seems like he refuses to play in the USFL or to play in the XFL.
That's a great point.
And, I mean, if you want to earn your way back, the CFL, like, there are alternatives, and he has this mindset that he's still going to be able to be the guy he used to be. Sorry, I forget all the off-the-field stuff or on-the-field kneeling. I don't buy that. I don't buy it at all.
Brandon Marshall asked on this podcast, he asked Colin Kaepernick if he would be willing to take a minimum salary position to get back in the door. Quote, I know I have to find my way back in, is what Kaepernick said. So, yeah, if I have to come in as a backup, that's fine, but that's not where I'm staying. And when I prove that I'm a starter, I want to be able to step on the field as such. I just need that opportunity to walk in the door. So he's willing to start as a backup, but not willing to stay a backup. You're right. And look, regardless, I always say regardless of how you feel about Colin Kaepernick, it's not that you brush all of that aside. It matters. But when you look at just the football element, he hasn't played in 5 years.
It's been a while.
And we're finally getting to the point after 3 years to where people are stopping the Andrew Luck conversation. I mean, after you get the 3, 4, 5 year range, is it realistic to come back in a starting role, even if you are in good shape?
And he's been too stubborn to play along. Remember, there was that workout that was supposed to take place, and he got annoyed that the NFL was controlling it and putting it in a spot that I guess would have been disadvantageous to him. There were a couple of obstacles, that, and maybe he had a point to make.
I do think at one point he did have beef, for sure, that was legit.
Right. Well, I think the beef at first was legit. I think when the NFL actually tried to meet him halfway, because obviously they were trying to just stop this conversation from happening that puts them in a bad light, then he turned it into his own little sideshow. And if you want truly to join something that has ostracized you, even if it's the wrong thing to do, in your opinion, even if it's something that's beneath you, you have to humble yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to be welcomed back in unless you do what the people in this group want you to do. So I just have a hard time believing he really wants to do all that is necessary to get back out there. He thinks it should be as simple as whether or not he can ball. And maybe it should be just that simple, but he has other things that he has to do. And unfortunately, that's part of life. Sometimes you got to do things you don't want to if you want to do something that you've perhaps been kicked out of.
Meanwhile, the Sunday Night Football broadcast team has been announced for NBC. Mike Tirico will replace Al Michaels, which we expected. Chris Collinsworth will stay in that color commentator position. This was a shocker. Michelle Tafoya, we knew, had left for politics because she wanted to do the political thing.
It was assumed
that Catherine Tappan would take that role. Catherine Tappan, longtime NBC sideline reporter, Notre Dame football sideline reporter, and she did the Super Bowl this year with Michelle Tafoya. They bypassed Catherine Tappan, and they're hiring Melissa Stark from NFL Network to replace Michelle Tafoya on the sideline. Not saying this is the biggest story in the world, but from a broadcast perspective, have we ever seen an offseason between Buck and Aikman, Burkhart, and then we don't even know if they're going to move up Olsen, this much movement?
I can't remember this much movement, and it's going to be weird. It's just going to be weird hearing anybody else on the NFC broadcast of the main game, the America's Game of the Week.
Right.
It's not like, you know, I know you're a big Kevin Burkhart fan. It's just going to be weird
Seeing
him in that
and
spot.
And people are going to love him because he's a good guy, but it will be strange.
Yeah.
I think even he would admit that.
And Olsen in that spot, too. And I'm sure they'll do a good job. It'll just be an adjustment period. People like the things that they're used to. They don't like change. They don't like new things. So, yeah, that'll be something else. But I will say this about Sunday Night Football. I love Al Michaels' voice. It's iconic. But even though Tirico's got a bit of a checkered past in a variety of different ways, I don't think there's anybody that's as on top of what is going on the way that Tirico is.
No question.
Tirico, his knowledge of the rules is just weirdly good.
Yeah.
You know, it's a difficult system of rules to understand. And I feel like Mike Tirico understands the NFL rule book better than, I would say, 99% of referees.
Mike Tirico also, whatever he does, he goes all in. He is now hosting the Indy 500. He hosted the Olympics, and he had a role with the Super Bowl. So,
and he's Italian.
I mean, he
that's what he says.
That is what he says. You put this next story on here about hot dogs. I am going to let you read
that.
Oh,
yeah. Well, guys, fellas.
Not me. Couldn't be me.
I'll call them hot dogs.
When I saw you put in bowl, I thought you meant actual hot dogs.
No. Well, American hot dogs aren't that big. They're only the 59th biggest hot dogs in the world, which is, you know, a shame.
We ain't talking ballpark wieners here, guys.
We are.
Figured that
well,
out. Paul
we're,
is
we're
insulting
some kind of those.
His own manhood as well as all of you listening.
Listen, I'm just saying what the data has been found. Google data from 86 countries, and the United States came in 59th as far as hot dog size. So, like, we don't have the same kind of frankfurters that Haiti and Ecuador have.
Can I ask how they measured this?
Yeah.
Because no one knocked on my door.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
Like, what are we
like,
doing
I'm
here?
I'm bigger than that. Well,
what are we doing?
I would imagine that they just invited a bunch of people to come in. But yeah, who was the one that was measuring these hot dogs? I don't know. But yeah, we're not doing too well, I suppose. I don't know what can really be done about that.
So ladies, make sure you travel the world. I
Ask
do
Frank
not have
Thomas,
a passport. I've never been out of the country. What'd you say?
Ask Frank Thomas, I guess.
Why?
Have you seen those commercials? It's about...
Oh, that's right.
No, fellas. That's Jimmy Johnson extends. There's also Nugenics.
Nugenics.
Yeah.
Fellas, she's like going to like it too.
The big hunk. Oh, my God. I can't believe you put that on there.
Well, listen, the story came out, and it is news. It is news. Haiti is pretty big, and Ecuador is the biggest.
All right. So
Cambodia, the smallest hot dogs.
Ladies, book your trips to Ecuador and Haiti, not for a mission trip, not to do the Lord's work.
Mustard and relish.
To experience things. This has been another edition.
Just a hot dog.
Of Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Of course, you can always stream us on the ESPN app. You can hear us on the podcast portion, wherever you get your podcasts, if you miss our live show, and you can watch us live on Twitch. For Paul Gallant, for our producer, Sean Mapes. Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Peace.
The hoes are laughing?
Yep.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.